Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 23, verse 32 to 43. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading of.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who trust in you. Amen. Well, here we are, the last Sunday of the year. Yep, last Sunday. No, I did not fall down on the way to church, anything like that. Today is the last Sunday of the church year. Yeah? Last Sunday of the church year. Every year, the church goes through a special rhythm, which is designed to keep us as disciples of Jesus grounded in the reality of God's presence in our lives. Because I'm convinced that no matter how spontaneous, how much we claim to love change, we are all on some level creatures of habit, are we not? Who among us could truly cope if every day was radically different? I'm seeing a lot of head shaking. Yeah. And so we have this rhythm as worshiping Christians, as I said, of keeping us grounded in God's presence. And we may not realize it, but we have a habit of marking many of these times here in Chemnay. We celebrate such times as Christmas, Lent, Holy Week, Easter, Pentecost, and coming up to a church near you next Sunday, Advent. Right? Each of these marks a particular time in the church year, and each of these parts of the church year has a different flavor, a different feel. It's meant to draw us into a different part of God's story of redemption. And today, the last Sunday of the year, it focuses on one specific aspect of the gospel story. You've been listening to the hymns so far. Maybe we have a clue what it might be, but it's the kingship of Jesus Christ. If we look through the official church calendar, today is Christ the King Sunday. Christ the King Sunday. Now, throughout Scripture, Jesus is given many titles. He's addressed a multitude of different ways, is he not? Most commonly, he's referred to as the Christ. Anybody know what Christ means? It's a word we transliterate from Hebrew, Mashiach, which sounds like Messiah. And Messiah means anointed one. So Christ means the same thing. Contrary to what some might think, Christ is not his last name. It's a title. Jesus is also called the Word of God, right? The Greek word logos, especially in the Gospel of John. The beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, right? We'll likely hear that again, probably on watch night this year. He's also called the Son of Man, the Son of Man. Now, that was Jesus' own preferred title for himself. He often referred to himself as the Son of Man that way. He's called the Son of God as well, the Son of David, the Lamb of God, right? On and on the titles continue. And every single title, every single way that Jesus is addressed is meant to tell us something vital about who Jesus is. And that's true as well for this title of King. So today we celebrate Christ the King. We celebrate on this last Sunday of the year, we celebrate Christ risen, Christ ascended, Christ glorified. And on this, the last Sunday of the year, we give thanks to God for all the blessings of the past year, for the Holy Spirit's constant presence with us, and for the unfathomable, life-changing difference that Jesus has made in each of our lives. So today is a day to celebrate and to give thanks. Christ the King Sunday. But on this day, what sort of kingship are we celebrating? And I suspect in this country, regardless of our personal feelings about monarchy, I'm not going to go there, don't worry, that the notion of kingship is probably very much in our minds these days, having recently had the first king in 70 plus years, right? And with his coronation coming up, I think it's in the beginning of May, an extra bank holiday I even heard for that. Extra day off, all right. This notion of kingship might be nearer to the front of our minds than not. But when it comes to Jesus, though, what kind of kingship are we celebrating? I think the reading from Luke that Suzanne read for us a few moments ago gives us a lot of food for thought. In this text, we're told in verse 35 and following, the people stood watching after Jesus was brought out to be crucified. People stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, if he is God's Messiah, the anointed, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Scorn, mockery, torture. Are these the kinds of injuries we associate with being a king? I think the honest answer is no, right? This picture is certainly not what we'd expect to see in a celebration of kingship, power, and authority. In this passage, there's no lavish court, there's no fine robes, but instead a naked and scarred body. Jesus' crown had no jewels, but only very sharp thorns pressed forcefully into his head. On his hands, there were no rings of power, just the nails affixing him to the cross. No servants around him, just two criminals. Two convicted criminals sharing his fate, and this crowd of soldiers and ghoulish spectators taunting and mocking him. Now, is this comfortable reading for us to hear this? No. The account of our Lord's crucifixion is never comforting reading. It should always be a disruptive experience to read this. It's never meant to be comforting. It's meant to disrupt, sadden, and shock us. It's meant to wake us up to the broken reality of our world, our infinite human capacity to get things wrong, our desire to be the gods of our own lives and not to bend the knee before God's true kingship and rule. But even more than all that, passages like this one in Luke of the crucifixion, they're meant to wake us up to God's willingness to overcome all of that. They're meant to remind us of the great nevertheless of God's grace, that God's grace will never stop pursuing us, will never stop overcoming our brokenness to make us whole. God will not relent until all things have been redeemed in Jesus Christ. And so when we read this passage, when we ponder its claim on us as Christians, we get a profound vision, I think, of the kind of kingship which truly speaks to the depths of who we are. We encounter in Jesus' kingship a love, a hope, and a salvation that can never, ever, ever be matched or satisfied by any worldly pleasure or any political promise, any relationship, any job, any salary. No, nothing compares to what we are offered in Jesus Christ. For in Jesus we encounter the King of Kings who willingly suffers alongside us. In King Jesus, we have a leader, a ruler, who does not remain aloof from those who he rules. In this text from Luke, we are told that as the King of Kings, not in spite of it, but because of it, Jesus experiences the full darkness of human sin, of betrayal, injustice, cruelty, pain, humiliation, and death. But these things do not detract from the kingship of Jesus. Instead, they are essential aspects of divine kingship. One of the great writers of the Reformation times was John Calvin, and he has reflected at length about the meaning of Jesus as King crucified. And he was writing about this, accounts like Luke's of the crucifixion, and he would refer to these passages as the theater or the arena of God's glory. The arena or the theater of God's glory, that this is truly showing us what kind of King Jesus is and how we have eternal and lasting hope in him. And this picture of kingship in Luke's passage, it turns traditional kingship upside down. The powerful voice, it speaks against the ways of our money and power-obsessed world. The kingship of Jesus reaches out to us, calling us to offer ourselves to Christ the King, to follow in his way of sacrificial love, so that others will come to know and to love and to trust him as Lord and Savior of their lives too. So Jesus' kingship is an invitational kingship. He wants to close the gap between him and us. We are invited into his ministry of love, sacrifice, and service. As I said before, we're here at the end of the year. We're about to start a new church year. Over the course of this week, our Christmas tree will be put up. Looking forward to that. We'll have the Advent wreath placed, and we'll start a new journey into a new year. And on this Christ the King Sunday and this last Sunday of the year, we can ask ourselves, what kind of year will it be? As we prepare to start the story again, how will we each respond to the call of Jesus on our lives? How will we respond to his subversive and saving kingship. None of us know what the next year will bring for us in our particular circumstances. We don't. But we can say that no matter what we do encounter, no matter what we do face, we will always have a choice in how we respond to the call of Jesus Christ. This is shown to us in verses 39 to 43. It says, one of the criminals who hung there with him hurled insults at Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. The other criminal with Jesus rebuked that first criminal and said, don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly. We're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And this is one of the most beautiful parts in all of Scripture. He looked at Jesus and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Friends, at the end of the day, I don't think it is truly possible to be indifferent to Jesus. I think his life and his teachings, what we are told about him in the New Testament, it provokes and it demands a reaction. His kingship demands a response. In his remarkable book, C.S. Lewis, who wrote Mere Christianity, he said something along these lines, that Jesus demands a response, right? You can't read the New Testament with an open heart and mind and just go, meh. It doesn't work that way, right? And for Lewis, he thought we had three choices when it came to Jesus. You can decide he's a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. What a choice, right? And C.S. Lewis was convinced that the final choice was the right one, of course. Yeah. But his life and teachings provoke a reaction. Jesus demands a response. And even moments from their own gruesome deaths, both of these criminals in this passage, they made a choice about Jesus, didn't they? And both choices, we can say, were consequential. So going into a new year, what choice will we make about Jesus? Will we be like the first criminal and deny the servant kingship of Jesus and instead insist that Jesus is God on our terms, doing what we want? Or will we be like the second criminal and humbly submit our whole lives to Jesus' lordship? On the cusp of a new year, we have a choice to make, each of us. It'll be a choice we make every single day, every single day that God gives us the grace to wake up and have another 24 hours. We have a choice to make. So as we lean into journeying through another year together, I hope we'll make the choice to continue to lean into worship together. I hope we'll choose to reflect on and wrestle with Scripture together. I hope that we'll continue to look after each other, to consider the needs of our community, to humbly submit our lives to Jesus, following his pattern of servant kingship. I hope that whether we notice it or not, that we will choose to trust that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, in our church, continuing to guide us into the Jesus way. Because the truth is, no matter what we decide, Jesus is King, now and forever. And so as we start another year, may we choose to follow in the way of our servant King. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.